for August 18th. We will now begin with our prayer of thanksgiving and praise by Deacon William Andrews, Jr.
Good evening, my First Baptist Church family, friends and visitors. I will be praying a prayer of thanksgiving, for we have so much to be thankful for, because the God we serve is faithful and compassionate. We should give thanks in all circumstances and situations, because we know that good can come out of a bad situation, just as bad can come out of a good situation. So let me begin by thanking God for the storms that he allows to come into our lives, for it reminds us to anchor our souls in the Lord, for he will never leave us nor forsake us. And I thank God for this endless rain that we have endured, for it reminds us of how our sins were washed away through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God for our sick and shut-in members, for it reminds us that there is a doctor in the house who has never lost a patient and who can do anything but fail. And I thank God for those under the umbrella of bereavement, for it reminds us that this body is temporary and this home is only being rented temporarily. For a greater body and home awaits us, where every tear will be wiped away and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. And I thank God for the poor and the needy, the homeless and the downcast, for it reminds us that what we do for the least of our brothers, we also do for Christ. And I thank God for wars and rumors of wars, for it reminds us that the kingdom of God is above all kingdoms, and no kingdom, no country, no empire can withstand the judgment of God. For in the blinking of an eye, powerful empires and countries can crumble if the will and the way of God is ignored. And I give thanks for this oppressive heat that we have endured, for it reminds us of where we don't want to spend eternity. Finally, I give thanks to God for those necessities of life that he continues to provide for us that we have become accustomed to. Food, shelter, clothing, the soundness of our minds, and a portion of our health. Thank you, God. Now we ask thy continued blessings upon our church, its leaders, and each and every member, our pastor and his family. And we would be remiss if we did not ask for the forgiveness of our sins. And we ask, O God, thy blessings upon the message and the messenger that will come forth tonight, that we in turn may be blessed. For it is in the blessed name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading will come from Sister Elizabeth Hunter Williams.
Good evening, everyone. I will be reading from the New Living Translation, Psalms 8. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppress you. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them? Yet you made the only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them charge over everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flock and the herds, and all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean current. O Lord, our Lord, your majesty name fills the earth. Amen.
We will now have a prayer by Deaconess Toni Williams. Okay, I think we lost Deaconess Toni Williams, so I'm going to go on to the next item in our order of service, which is the closed mic prayer. We have Deaconess Toni Williams back on the line, so we will now have a prayer by Deaconess Toni Williams.
Hello. Can you all hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry. Okay. Just to say that I've been turning on the TV lately, and it just seems that we're going backwards, not forwards, with this pandemic, and it seems to be never ending. So I'm going to say a prayer of trust in God for strength that this pandemic is only temporary. Heavenly Father, you know the beginning and the end. You ordain all things to work out for our good. Even in this trial that we are still going through, dealing with COVID-19, Father, we take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Help us to draw strength from you. It is easy for us to falter in our faith and let other things weaken our dependence of you. Enable us to resist those thoughts and know that you are the one who gives us strength. Through this all, we know that there is a time for everything, a time for joy and a time for weeping, and that only your kingdom will last forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We will now have a prayer by Deacon Kevin Freeman.
Good evening, everyone. Let us pray. Our God, how wonderful you are. You show us day in and day out how good you are to us. You allow us to wake up again this morning, dear Lord. Some others didn't wake up this morning, dear Lord. But we know everything is in your hands. Heavenly Father, I come to you for just loving us, dear Lord. You take care of us financially. You take care of a roof over our head. Dear Heavenly Father, you even put clothes on our back, food on the table. Dear Lord, I don't say this out of just being thoughtless, dear Lord. I just ask you to be with those who don't have those things, dear Lord. I know that you can make a way because you made it for us. Dear Lord, thank you for our family. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our pastor and his family, dear Lord. Dear Lord, be with all the ministers at First Baptist Church, dear Heavenly Father. Father, be with us. This world is just going the way that you would have it to go, dear Lord. There's so much rumors of wars, dear Lord. People thinking of themselves only, dear Lord. Dear Lord, just send an angel, Heavenly Father. Give us the strength that we need to keep enduring through this, dear Lord. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. Oh, Father, you're so good to us in spite of ourselves, dear Lord. Father, I just ask you to be with our sick members, dear Heavenly Father. Let them not be troubled, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with those who may be depressed, those who may be just sick in the mind all the way, dear Lord. Oh, Father, make a way for them, dear Lord. Send the angel. Dear Lord, let your people get more closer to thee. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who came and died for us. We love you, my Heavenly Father. Let us not fall short of your glory. In your son, named Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
We will now have a musical selection followed by our inspirational speaker for this evening, our very own Brother David Powell, Minister of Music at First Baptist Church.
All of my worship. Good evening, First Baptist members, visitors, and friends. I give honor to God for his presence and for this call. Thank you, Pastor Tucker, for your leadership. And Deacon Bagley, I thank you especially for thinking of me to be able to share this evening. You've been such a blessing to me personally, and I count it an honor not only to serve God in this capacity, but to be able to respond with a yes as you called on me. For the next few moments, I'd like to just take a moment and share some personal reflections and some realizations, particularly in light of this last year. So for a title, I'd like to for us to emphasize or look at this inspirational thought of unexpected blessings in unprecedented times. Unexpected blessings in unprecedented times. Let us pray. Father, this evening I just say thank you. I thank you for the privilege to share your word and the testimony of its value to my life, with hope that it will inspire and uplift the hearts of your people. The best of me is who I am because of your grace and your mercy. And in whatever state I find myself in, I'm grateful that I can call on you. Please meet us, Lord, with your peace. Give us ears to hear from you, a mind that can think critically and find relevant application of your redemption, your healing, your strength, and your love. I thank you for my brothers and sisters all on this call. And though I can't physically see them or touch them or be near them, I know that you are with them, Father. And so I ask that you would bless them abundantly. Increase our faith, Lord, until our faith becomes sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Unexpected blessings in unprecedented times. I'd like to list as a scripture John 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4. And I really will focus just on the verses 21 through 24, which really pertain to that song. I was talking about receiving my worship. And the scripture just says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Again, that was specifically from John 4, 21 through 24. This pandemic has given me a lot of time to work, to pray, to reflect, and think. In addition to some added responsibilities on the job, I have a dog. I continue to serve at First Baptist in this more virtual space, and have recently been blessed to complete my first semester of graduate school with a 3.6 GPA, pursuing a dual double degree, interdisciplinary degree in worship and organizational leadership. Like many of you, my home space over the past year has been transformed to serve personal, professional, social, and spiritual functions. In fact, my clothes have even endured more time on hangers as I've increased normalizing wearing sweatpants. I'm not looking forward to probably going back to the cleaners and having to have them let out some of my pants that may or may not fit a little tight at the moment. Nevertheless, I'm blessed. And as the times have evolved, so has our normalizing of the use of technology, whether it be Zoom or free conference call or even Teams, Skype, trainings, a number of things that cause our eyes and ears to be either glued to screens or near phones or computers or iPads or TVs. All these things we've done in the spirit of service, in the spirit of celebrating holidays, occasions, grief. We've done a number of things to keep connected and to keep ourselves alive and engaged even during this time. We've normalized events that otherwise we could only envision doing in person and hands-on. I've witnessed loved ones lose jobs, deal with changes in income classification, wrestle with the next steps, adjust their personal and professional goals based on limitations. I've grieved with persons. I've seen families lose loved ones and seek peace even in the next steps without having the normality of our fellowship and finding ways to do things in large gatherings. I personally experienced some feelings of unending concerns. I've worked a little bit more than normal. I've had sadness, great moments of happiness, consequent pockets of sleep that were usually more in tune or more in line with more permanent places of rest. I've been seeking balance, personal care and upkeep, and just maintaining my own sanity amid this endless stream of media and friends and voices and things like that that plague us. But in all these things, God is continuing to reveal what's important, and that's worship. Love, even through our relationships that we have with our loved ones, our friends and families, taking the time to call, to text, to email, to make that connection, to continue to stay connected, and finding time to do the things that make you happy, remembering that life is a gift and it's not promised to anyone beyond the time in which God sees fit. But all in all, I'm remaining confident and hopeful that God is with us always. In fact, I know that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that when we feel down or when our parents or forsake us, that God is with us amid all things. He is a peace for us, and it's in this time that we worship, not just in terms of an activity on a Wednesday or a Sunday, but that we worship from the vantage point of seeing all things, all events in our lives through his eyes. God has taken us back to a space where we hear and feel his presence, even without all of the things that we are used to having around us. He's reminding us that it's worship that we're called to have and to live and to function in. It's a change in posture that many of us have to have in order to balance out the various emotions that we have. If we go back to John 4, in this gospel, Jesus encounters a Samaritan woman at a well, and she's poor. She's without a man at the well. She's even an outcast in her own community. And so I'm sure that she's not expecting to meet the Lord. And it's with this time that we see that Jesus has conversation with her, and he first confronts her about her sin and her situation, and he's even asking for water. But after even the confrontation, he lifts her up, and he gives her life value through worship, and that's specific to the text that I listed. This Samaritan woman is breaking all the norms that are custom in terms of how she goes to the well. Again, she's there at a time that's not usual, and she's there alone. But it's in this abnormal space, in this abnormal time and moment, that she encounters Jesus. And this is significant to me because sometimes God has to put us in an abnormal space so that we can have a direct encounter with him, so that we can grow more in him, so that we can lean more on him and trust in him. And so in this encounter, he meets her in this vulnerable space of his own humanity first, because he's thirsty and looking for water. And he knows that that's something that she can give. But one of the things I like about our faith is that God meets us in the space of our humanity, and he meets us genuinely with the things that he knows that we need. He sees what we have to offer, and though he has more than we could ever dream and he has more to offer than what we could give, he's coaching and wanting us on his team. He's wanting us to become a part of the body and the family of God, just like many of us are today. And so he's reminding us, even in this text, that God is alive and that he's not limited to the constraints of what we have or what we've seen, that he specializes in not being moved by our new encounters or experiences, regardless of our background, whether we're Samaritan. Again, this Samaritan woman was not Jewish. She was not in the line or the lineage of God and of those who were receiving the promise. And so she could have been left alone. But time after time, God proves that it doesn't matter where you are, what you've come from, who you are, that his arms are open and that he's ready to receive our worship. How many of us have possibly drawn conclusions about ourselves or circumstances or our future? And how many of us have had time to think about the way that we should be or the way that we thought we would be or what we thought was going to happen? What I love about God is that his grace is enough. And I say that meaning his grace is uninhibited, it's omnipresent, it's indescribable, it's unrestricted, it's his power and his presence, and he's left us with the gift of the Holy Spirit as our eternal lifeline. His unexpected blessings are meeting us in these unprecedented times. Jesus continues in the conversation with the Samaritan woman and shares that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. And so in this way, he's connected to the Father and is freely bringing her into the family and bringing her into a relationship with the Father by introducing to us worship. See, worship in spirit and in truth is a concern with spiritual realities in this real world that we're living in, with faith and confidence in God according to the counsel of his word, especially through the life of his son, Jesus Christ. As worshipers, we can open and reopen our eyes to the face of God's grace every day. Our worship is now our lifeline and our future. David understood this when he said, "I would have fainted or lost heart, lest I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." Worship is the activation of our faith in challenging times and in good times, even according to Hebrews 11. It's the whole armor of God that we clothe ourselves in as we persevere in prayer, as stated in Ephesians 6. It's the mind of Christ abiding in us in Philippians 2, the declaration of Romans 11:29, that God hasn't changed his mind about our gifts and our calling. It's God's presence speaking in a still small voice, as in 1 Kings 19:11. It's the singing to the Lord and shouting to the rock of our salvation, as declared in Psalm 95. It's the confession of prayer and healing, as in James 5:16. It's the larger call found in Matthew 28:19, to go ye therefore into the world and make disciples. Daily, it's the grace to believe that we are not alone and that with every new breath we take, so is the opportunity to see, experience, and live for God. That's our worship. Dr. Bruce Shelley expresses in his work, Church History in Plain Language, that mission without worship can produce empty service, just as worship without mission can lead to careless religion. I'll say that again, and this is from Church History in Plain Language. Mission without worship can produce empty service, just as worship without mission can lead to careless religion. I don't desire an empty service or careless religion when I know that I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I'm equipped with a living faith that believes the impossible. So we're in times that perhaps a pandemic is with us. Not perhaps, a pandemic is with us, but God is even more with us. His hand is on us. At First Baptist, I'm blessed to serve through the medium of the arts, leading us in worship and positioning us in a way to equally surrender to the power of the cross and remember to stand on the promises of God. I'm also blessed by the many gifts, kind spirits, words of love and admonishment that permeate our worship experience from many of you that participate in this call. We reflect and know that the story of creation found in Genesis, how incredible it is that God would create mankind as the last of all creatures on earth, give mankind dominion to rule over every living thing on the earth, and that he would endow us with the special honor of personifying him as he made us in his image and in his likeness. He's given us dominion and affirms us as the apple of his eye, according to Psalm 17 and 8 and Proverbs 7 and 2. He's placed in us his spirit so that through our belief in his son, we can worship him in a way that truly pleases him and be restored in doing so. He simply asks that we love him with all of our being and share that love with the rest of creation. Being mindful that it was his love for mankind when we worshiped and that we didn't, and that he would clothe himself in humanity to be born on earth, to experience every emotion, to experience every temptation, every challenge, and even the confinement of victory and humiliation in the human experience. Christ ultimately betrayed by his own people, laid down his life for all of us. All of this while being found without sin. He was found with no committed or punishable crime by law. He laid down his life as a selfless devotion to God and for our eternal salvation that we might be joint heirs with him. So my eternal worship and my eternal response is to glorify him, is to make his name great, is to surrender even the parts of me that are challenged by the times that we are in, knowing that God's got my back. And so if I can leave you with anything, it's just a reminder that God has our back. He has our right. He has our left. He has our front. He is with us in all things that we do, and that worship is the answer to this time. There's a song that I've been playing almost every week, and I pondered in my head whether I would sing or even just share the lyrics, but it's really been pointed in this time in terms of reflection, in terms of thinking about God's grace, and even in terms of just keeping me focused on him. It says, may your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your troubles show that you need God, and may your battles in the way they should, may your bad days prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. I bid you peace and blessings, worshipers.
Tell one more person. you're looking for somebody, he's gone. And he don't need nobody else. There's no question of your greatness, nor searching of your power. Oh, the wonder of your glory, to you 40 years is but 1 hour. Your knowledge is all encompassing, to your wisdom there is no end. Oh, for you alone are God. You are God alone. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth is here always. You are he who was and is to come. Who is he that can number your days? You flung the sun to burn in space, and the night moon borrows light from day. Oh, you alone. Your God, and oh Him, you're everything I need. You are God alone. Now unto the King,
now unto the King,
eternal.
Power.
The lines will now be unmuted for approximately 20 seconds to acknowledge our speaker for this evening.
Awesome. The God is glory. Hallelujah. Awesome. Thank you for that word. God, you use vitally for glory. God, use you vitally. Thank you, David and God.
Beautifully delivered.
Be to God. Praise the Lord to you.
Hallelujah.
We will now have remarks and prayers by Reverend Suckham.
Oh, how we thank God for this blessed experience that has been ours tonight. We thank Brother David Powell for that powerful word that was so inspiring, challenging us to know that in the midst of all of the struggles that we have, there is grace and God's grace. And we need to lean on and know that God's grace is available to us, and that the participation in that grace is to know that we should worship him in spirit. In all things, we should worship him. Oh, how powerful and blessed to come to know that we were created that way for God's grace, his mercy, and his love that abounds in our spirit and enables us to worship and draw near unto God, even in the midst of the struggles that we have. Oh, what a powerful and inspiring word. I thank God for it. And oh, how much I needed the word and that expression and that truth that we heard. Thank you, David, and then let me thank all of the persons who participated in the services tonight. Your prayers and reading of the word and your expressions were so meaningful tonight, and we just want to let you know that God is moving in our midst. In spite of the situation that we are in, God is moving and working and making it possible for us to draw close to him and be empowered by him and raised up in the midst of the lowliness and the struggles that we had. I thank God for his goodness. Thank you for all of you who love God enough to gather around your phones and come together that we might be able to call upon the Lord, even though we are separated and divided in so many ways. We can come together even in this fashion and know that God is real and God is mighty and God is good, and sense his spirit and worship him even in this fashion. Oh, what a great God we have. We want to encourage you to continue to serve and to worship God. We thank all of you for what you are doing and how you are continuing to give up yourselves and give up your resources, give up your time, that others may be blessed and that God may use you in whatever you do. We want to encourage you to meet us again on Sunday morning, where we'll be able to worship God again and around our worship experience by way of Zoom, and you can reach us on the YouTube and Facebook, and let's just continue to praise the Lord in a wonder and worship him in all that we do and all that we can say. Let me invite you to be at our services on Sunday. The Reverend Dr. Kenneth Lee will be with us, and we encourage all of you to come and be a part of that worship experience. Let us remember our sick and shut-in. Include in your prayers Sister Marcia Jackson, who's in the John Hopson Hospital. continue to pray for Sister Deborah Banks and Brother John Graves, now home from the hospital. And then we want to ask you to pray for Sister Mays and her family, sickness all around, and let's pray for them. Pray for Sister Barbara Stenard and so many others that you know of that, and that's on your sick list. Let's pray for them and continue to keep them in prayer. God loves them, and God loves us all, and let us be faithful to him. We're going to open up the lines now and have you to make your prayer requests. We invite you to make your prayer requests. The lines will be open for 20 seconds.
Thank you for the
Corey, Linda, Brenda,
the Barnett family,
the Barnett family,
the Younger family,
the Cook family,
thank you.
God, our Father, we come just now asking you to have mercy and bless the many families whose names were called forth tonight. We ask, O God, that you would hear the cries of your children. We thank you, O God, for the privilege that is ours to gather at this time, that we might be able to call on you and to assure you that we are worship you in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirit. We pray, O God, that you would continue to bless. Bless your people, O God, because we are in need. We need your presence. We need your grace. We need your power. We need your love. And so, God, we come tonight because we are indeed in need. We pray, O God, your blessings upon the children of the world, children who are yet growing and striving and learning. And we ask, O God, that you would be with them and protect them during this time of trouble and sickness and disease that is in our world, O God. We pray that you would make it a safe place for our children, and, O God, and bless them as they are off and going back to school, O God. Make the way clear, O God, and make there be decisions that are appropriate and right and fair for the well-being of your children, O God. Bless them as only you can do. And then, God, we pray for those who are sick. Sickness seems to come upon us, O God, sometimes strangely and unexpectedly. And our bodies, our hearts, our minds are troubled, O God. Have mercy upon those individuals and send your healing grace and abide with them. And then, O God, will you use us that we may be a blessing to them, to the sick as well. And then, O God, we pray for patience. We pray for guidance. We pray for all that is needed that we might be able to be mindful of what you want us to do and what you want us to be. And then, God, we want to say thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. And then, oh God, we pray and thank you for our condition of health. Even though sometimes we grow weary and weak, we know that you are near. We thank you for the portion of health that you have provided for us. And then, God, we thank you for life and hope and the possibilities that you have before us. Thank you for deliverance, because we've been in a hard place, tough spots, difficult ways, trying times, confusion of mind, and, oh, God, difficulties and challenges that come our way, oh, God. And yet you have brought us through, and we want to say thank you for your deliverance. and then abide with us as only you can do. And God, we come tonight asking special blessings upon the elders, the older ones of us, O God. We pray, O God, that you would give us more strength and wisdom and ease the pain and the struggles of becoming older, O God. Be with us, O God, as we seek to wait out our lives as you have desired us to do. And, O God, keep us and sustain us. Bless us and mold us. In the blessed name of Jesus the Christ, we do pray. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and grant unto you his divine peace.
May your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your battle in the way they should, and may your bad days prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may God is good. He lets your whole